Welcome to Let's Talk Golf. I'm your host, Penny Gaylor. Well, welcome everybody to the very first show of Let's Talk Golf. I'm your host, Penny Gaylor. And over the course of shows ahead of us, I think we're going to cover all sorts of things for us novices, those who are amateurs. Occasionally we might hear from a bit of a pro, but all of us who are keen on golf, this is a program to just kind of dive into the world of golf. So today's guest is Tony Lester. Welcome, Tony.
Hello, Penny. How are you?
It's great to have you.
Fellow golfer.
I'm just now, when I say novice, I've been 10 months into my journey of golf, so just very excited and loving it.
It's a great game, and it's such an equaliser of a game as well. It makes you really understand what your abilities are like when you think you've had a great round and then you come back next week and it's a shocking round.
Yeah, same hole. Yeah, same hole, it's a better day, same clubs. Yeah. Oh, it must be, I don't know, strange things. And you know what I love about it is I've, at the time I've taken it up, my teenage boys have too.
Yeah.
And they can whip it off the tee. And I'm like, oh, yeah, but I'll just go straight, guys.
Yes, and that's the trouble. Youth brings strength, but it also brings a lack of direction in some cases.
Yes, well, there's a very big comment about youth.
Absolutely.
And, of course, it's a great game to play with friends who are older and companions, as I do as a novice nine-holer and with a group of people at the Ōtaki Golf Club who do nine holes, who've been playing for a long time and love the sport.
So I'm a member at Waikanae Golf Club. Actually, I'm the chair of the board at Waikanae, and I primarily play on a Tuesday and Friday with what we call our midweek men, mm-hmm. around about 55 or 60 players on a Tuesday and a smaller group on the Friday. On the Tuesday, you get mixed up so that you may put your name down against such and such a person. And then the convener on the Monday mixes us all up, so we're all playing with different people all the time. And on the Friday, you can pick your friends, if you've got any, to play with on the Friday. And our oldest member at Midweek Men is 90-year-old.
Fantastic.
And he's still out there, straight down the fairway, straight onto the green, walks all the time around the course, so it's just an amazing. Yeah. And we have a number over 80. And many players that are just retired in the mid-60s through 70s as well. So it's very, very strong group of men. But at the club also we have a very strong group of ladies playing. I think the average percentage for lady members in a golf club in New Zealand is 21% of the members are female. At Waikanae we pride ourselves on being at 25%. And we're trying to work out other ideas of ways of getting ladies involved in the game because it's a great game.
Yeah, brilliant. And I'm finding that with a lot of women friends of mine who are in my generation looking to kind of be empty nesters and thinking about, gosh, how am I going to fill in some time or get myself my own hobby or pick up sport again? A lot of women are kind of going, this is a good sport for me, and that socialising, that companionship, don't have to run. I like that aspect.
And we're very blessed on the Kapiti Coast because we've got some wonderful golf courses from Foxton in the north of our Horowhenua Kapiti Coast area all the way down to Paraparaumu and the nine-hole course at Kapiti Golf Club as well. Yeah. So we've got the opportunity for courses to play right across the coast, and golf's booming.
It's booming.
The expressway has certainly made a major difference. Transmission Gully has made a major difference to the clubs up here on the coast. Waikanae is sitting at around about 870 members at the moment, and that's just been a boom over the last 12 months.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So certainly the idea of this program is to have guests in who can talk about the different clubs,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, as you say, up through Horowhenua as well as the Kapiti Coast. So looking forward to that. I reckon we might get some people in who are greenkeepers.
Yep.
Because I think it's amazing how beautifully all the greens and the courses, the fairways. I don't like how they keep the rough. But I think You know, it's amazing the work that goes into keeping good courses, and we have very good courses. So just, you know, exploring a whole lot of that, maybe some people will share some insights about the rules. There's a lot of rules, so a lot to learn. And, of course, golf etiquette, very important.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, but it's, I guess, the golf etiquette is quite global, though, isn't it? It's
I have a saying about golf, and, you know, it's not what score you actually make on the day, but it's how you look on the golf course. Yes. So the clothing and your attire and the way that you hold yourself on a golf course is very, very important.
Yes, yes.
Like Ricky.
Keep your head up.
Rory McIlroy threw a club. That would never happen at the Waikanae Golf Club.
Oh, no, I haven't seen that live. I've just, you know, watched that on TV recently with the US Open, and they described it as throwing a tomahawk.
Yes, well, he certainly threw it forward. May not have gone as far as his golf ball did, but he certainly threw it forward.
Yes, he certainly did. Yeah. So we'll come back to the Waikanae Club, thank you. Meanwhile, talking about how popular golf is, and it is definitely, that's my feeling about it, it's growing everywhere. It's a lovely thing to have a conversation with about people. And you've very involved in a big project that's happening at the moment in the Kapiti Coast. So that was one of the reasons I wanted to get you in here to talk to the show. And tell us about the new mini golf that's coming to the Kapiti Coast.
Well, this is really an amazing story. About 15 months ago, one of the senior Rotary people in Kapiti Rotary, a gentleman called Vic Hewson, drove up to Palmerston North and had a look at the Lions mini putt course that they had up there. And he came back and talked to his fellow Rotarians and said, "We think that Kapiti is missing out on a mini putt course." So Rotary started looking at it quite seriously. And then they realised that actually, while Rotary could arrange the funding for the course and everything like that, they may not be able to resource it with the volunteers that they require. So then they approached the four Lions clubs in Kapiti to see whether Kapiti Lions and Kapiti Rotary would get together to form an organisation that could go with building a mini golf course. So out of that came a project called Projects for Good, and that's now a charitable trust set up between Lions and Rotary, and under the umbrella of Projects for Good, we have a project called Golf for Good. Golf for Good has a board of six trustees. Three of them are from Lions and three of them from Rotary. It's chaired currently by Alistair Bessel from Rotary. And we've been working now for the best part of a year on getting this project off the ground. This project will be something that Kapiti has never seen before. It will be a unique project in New Zealand, the first of its kind. And if you've got any thoughts in your mind about what a mini putt golf course looks like, then completely throw those out of your mind.
So no pirate ships?
No pirate ship.
Right, gotcha.
No lighthouses or anything like that. This course is a mini golf course. It will come with rocks. It will come with bunkers. It will come with rough. And it will come with a significant amount of planting around the holes. And this is going to be an 18-hole course. So this model was, we originally thought when we set up that we'd have a mini putt. But a gentleman called Scott McPherson, who is Stuart McPherson's son, who's a local Kapiti boy, works in the United Kingdom. And he designs golf courses. So he was out over Christmas and spent some time with our project team and came up with a design for what will be a mini golf course. And then we're working with a firm called Himalayas, and Himalayas design and build these things throughout the world, and they are absolutely magnificent. So if you ever get a chance, have a look at our website, which is called Golf for Good, or our Facebook page, Golf for Good. And you'll see on there pictures of what the course will be, how the course will be set up with the various holes, I think the longest hole is going to be about 17 metres, and the majority of holes will be 10 to 12 metres, but they'll have bunkers in them. And these bunkers aren't what you find on a golf course. These bunkers are all made out of artificial turf, as too will be the rough. So you can take your grandchildren, your kids, your mates along, and with a putter, you're going to be able to play this entire course because it's all made out of artificial turf. First for New Zealand, and it will look magnificent.
Wow. And before we even talk about the economics of that, which will be good for Kapiti for sure, what a great experience. And that, you know, because I think if you're a, shall I dare say, a proper golfer, not like me, but, you know, a proper golfer, you might not kind of want to go to a putt-putt, but this you'll be like, oh yeah, no, I want to go and check that out. But to do any age, so it'll be what, all weather, it's not actual grass, it's not the, you know, because I'm a little bit prone to rough and bunkers, will they be easier to get out of?
So our aim is to be to position this as an opportunity for all ages in the community. It's coming, we're halfway through the year, so people will start thinking about Christmas presents. Mm. Well, buy your children a family pass. Buy your children an individual membership. So we're in the process now of just winding up that process of how will we allocate family passes and individual passes, which will give people access to the course every day of the year if they want to, 365 days of the year. The other thing that we're doing is actually putting in lighting. So we may not have all the lighting from day one, but it will be lit ultimately, which will enable us to do golf at night. We have our consent gives us up to the 8:30 at night to enable us to play on the course. And so we're aiming, as we progress the development of the course, to target corporates and that for their ability to have, you know, team days and corporate events at the mini putt, the mini golf course, with regards to being under lights. The other beauty that we've got here on the Kapiti Coast is that this course is being built in Mazengarb Park. And Mazengarb Park is off Mazengarb Road in Paraparaumu. And also at Mazengarb Park is all these kids playing football, playing touch rugby during the every Saturday, every weekend of the year. And so there's going to be a real sporting buzz around the hub. And the other exciting thing is that we're working very closely with the hockey turf because we have a magnificent resource available to the community in our hockey turf pavilion. And so they have a caterer involved there. They have a liquor license involved. And so while we'll be able to have the mini course running, golf course running, people who hire the course can in fact go across to the hockey turf and have their corporate events afterwards, after match functions. So a win-win for everything around the Mazengarb Park area.
Totally. Great stuff. And I know that when I actually recently attended the launch of this project, that you were talking about a December opening. Is that still on track for that?
Yeah, so our plan is to put Mayor Janet into a digger on September the 1st. And she will be turning the first sod with a digger. So no spades here. This is big, serious stuff.
Big stuff.
And so 1st of September is construction start, and the plan for completion is around about the 26th of November. So we're talking about a 6 to 7 week build. Mm-hmm. The key thing about Mazengarb Park is ultimately when we take the soil off the top, it's relatively flat underneath.
Right.
So we'll be able to build the holes relatively quickly. Now, even though I say it's relatively flat, there will still be some slopes amongst the various holes that we'll have. So it will be a challenge for everybody as well as the regular golfer, but it will be a challenge.
Great. Now, you've also had a lot of local businesses come on board with that,
so
with this project.
and this is the magic story about the Kapiti Coast. We have 18 holes. All 18 holes have been sponsored to date by local firms. Great range of firms as well. You've got organisations like the Kapiti Child Centre sponsoring a hole. You've got organisations like Wayne Piddock from Tiroto Drive Fish Supply sponsoring a hole. Now, Wayne's a really special man in our community. He donated 40,000 kilo of frozen fish last year to the community of Wairoa after their cyclone went through. That was a combined Lions and Rotary project as well. And Wayne continues to give back to the community, not only by sponsoring the golf course, but he supplies the food bank and Kibosh and places like that with frozen fish as well. So we've unearthed all this talent of people who want to give in the community. Sure, all the big organisations are there, and, you know, I can't go past saying what a magnificent organisation Mills Albert are mm-hmm. on the Kapiti Coast. They are doing so much for us for free, but they're not the only ones. You know, we've got this course is going to have a kiosk. It's going to have 18 holes. It's going to be fenced. It's going to be planted. And all the effort that is going into this from a design perspective and from a construction perspective is being supplied by local organisations for free.
Wow.
So we're building an asset currently at the moment. We're up to $760,000 in insurance value for the mini course.
Mm-hmm.
But we expect we're going to be talking about an asset that's going to be bequeathed to the Kapiti Coast close to $1 million when we finish by the end of the year.
Wow. And I just also, we were talking about the sponsorship relationship with local businesses, Total Span. What have they been doing in the mix there?
Yes.
Good things.
So I need to apologise to Total Span because this golf course is called the Total Span Lions and Rotary Golf for Good Golf Course. Now, that's a big mouthful. But Total Span came up and they have... they want to be the naming sponsor, the naming rights sponsor for us. So they've donated a significant sum of money to obtain the naming rights. Plus, they're also going to be doing all the cladding for the kiosk that we're building. So again, local organisations like Steal It are building the framework right now for the kiosk. The kiosk will be bought off site and will be ultimately craned in to the site and... our kiosk will be used by the Lions volunteers and the Rotary volunteers who will resource the course on the day, and we'll stock ice creams, soft drinks and things like that for people to buy, but we won't be having any other food. If you want food, you're going to need to go across to the hockey turf to help them generate some income as well.
Oh, wow. So I'm just thinking about... how you'll actually run it then? So you'll actually have volunteers, not paid employees, and so you will be charging people. So what that'll be sort of to run the centre?
So Rotary's in a slightly different position from Lions because Rotary has always been a club that's attracted people that are still working and things like that. So, and when Rotary run projects, sure, they put a lot of resource into it, but they also have the ability to put finance into a various range projects. The Lions are a slightly different kettle of fish, and it's just wonderful to see the camaraderie between both the Lions and the Rotary in how we're running this project. But Lions members are typically a little bit older, and... if you look at the projects that Lions runs, there's the book fair, there was the garage sale up to a couple of years ago, there's fertiliser drives, there's afternoon tea sessions and things like that. But a lot of the projects that Lions run requires a fair bit of grunt from their members. And, you know, it's no surprise that a number of the clubs are struggling to attract members. Waikanae, which I'm a member of, is getting close to back to 50 members again. So it's the largest club on the coast from a Lions perspective. But some of the other clubs are struggling. So the beauty about this mini golf course is that the clubs are going to be able to work to a roster whereby they will volunteer their time during the hours of opening, so that they can sit there and sell an ice cream, sell a Coke, can of Coke, sell and let people purchase their tickets to play on the course. We're going to give, out of those days' takings, those volunteers are going to get $150 a day to go to their clubs, so that those clubs can put that money into their charitable trusts and they can use that money over time to donate back to the community. So there's an opportunity for the Lions clubs to try and find an easier way to raise funds than traditionally may have been the case with some of their projects.
Wow. Okay, so that really does explain to me the golf for good.
Yeah.
Or golf for good catchphrase or title of the project. So I get it. Yep, that's fantastic. You know, a lot of people know about the clubs, you know, all the good deeds and good work and good community stuff that Rotary and Lions both do, but this is quite a unique to have this kind of collaboration.
I think it's the first time in New Zealand that Lions and Rotary have collaborated. Now, we collaborated last year on the fish for Waroa for their cyclone difficulties, I've got a number of friends within Rotary, and a number of people that play golf within Rotary. And so there's no them or us. It's actually quite a neat situation. And if anybody that knows me that I can give a bit of cheek, and I enjoy giving cheek to my Rotary friends as well as my Lions friends, because that's how you build up that camaraderie.
Yeah, brilliant. Oh, just so pleased that, you know, as I say, everybody knows about the good work of both the different organisations, and to be working together like this to create money that we can then support other projects with. That's brilliant. Thank you. And I just want to pick up, do you need to be doing more fundraising ahead of the project opening?
So, yes, there's always an opportunity for that. So if I could just ask your listeners if they're interested in coming to being involved in the course, go onto our Facebook page, go onto our website, and you'll see opportunities there. We've structured, as I said before, all the 18 holes have been sponsored. The naming rights have been agreed to with Total Span. But there's opportunities there for other sponsors to come on board at gold, bronze, and gold, silver, and bronze level. But it's not, you don't just donate your money and get nothing for it. People who are coming on board, like our sponsors, for instance, they've paid $10,000 a hole, and we're giving them back 350 family passes a year that they can use then for their clients or for their staff for free access to the golf course. What happens with the sponsors in our community, and everybody's always looking for money, is that sponsors are faced with having to find money. What we're doing is we're giving them vouchers that they can give to people like the local scouts or the girl guides or whoever, and basically say, here's 10 family passes to go and play around a golf on the golf course. Now, they could raffle those off, they could sell them, they could auction them. So it's an opportunity as for whoever the gold and bronze and silver sponsors can be and the whole sponsors, it's an opportunity for them to get something back for their money as well, apart from just the naming that they have on the course.
Oh, that's great. I think that's a really good offer for them, isn't it?
Mm.
And
it's all about, as I said before, about the volunteers resourcing the kiosk. It's a constant circle of giving. Mm. So that everybody basically gets something for their efforts. They in turn give it back to the community. They in turn use it at the mini golf course or whatever. And so it's just a circle of constant giving.
Brilliant. Well, good luck for that project. I'm certainly looking forward to I can't bring my Scotty Cameron putter, can I?
No, you're not allowed to bring your own putter. You are not allowed to bring your own golf ball. And you're not allowed to bring any other clubs, Penny, because I've seen your swing. swing, and we don't want that on the course.
Yeah, no, I'm an ex-hockey player. So it can be a bit wild, but you know, it's all, you know, and I'm working on it, Tony.
Good
I'm
on
working
you.
On it.
Good on you. Look, I've been working on it for over 50 years, so you know, you never stop working.
Great. Now that I think I might ask this question to everybody who comes on this show. If you could have a round of golf with a pro golfer, any pro golfer in the world, who would it be, and which course or anywhere around the world would you want to play with them?
Oh, it'd have to be Ryan Fox.
Yes.
I've been very fortunate over the last 5-6 years to be able to follow Ryan for a couple of times around the race to Dubai, the final tournament in the European Championship. And just to see the power that he can hit a golf ball with, plus the accuracy of his play when he's in a relaxed mode is really, really good. And if any of your listeners saw his interview the other day about the after winning the Canadian Open, you just understand how good a humble person and a real New Zealander Ryan Fox is. So Ryan Fox would be one of my favourites to play with. My favourite course, I can't go past some of the courses in Dubai. We have a daughter living in Dubai, so we get to go there quite frequently. And the courses in Dubai are just unbelievable. Many years ago, I played a round of golf at Baldersroll, just out of New York, and I'd played the 1994 or 84 US Open on it, and that was just brutal. So I'm not into brutal golf courses. I'm into basically enjoying my golf, and the fact that there's less rough and fair bit of sand in Dubai, as you'd expect, but the courses in Dubai are magnificent.
So because we're conjuring up vision of, you know, just sand, a little bit of a green, like are they long holes over there? Or?
They are very long. I've been fortunate to play the Montgomery or the Elves Club over there, and these are spectacular golf courses. Sure, there's a bit of sand on the side, but most of the fairways are long, green, perfectly manicured, and the greens are nowhere near as fast as what we have here in Waikanae or something along those lines, but they still are a huge challenge. As you do see when the European Tour does get there, the 4 or 5 times that it does get to the United Arab Emirates.
Oh, brilliant. Oh, well, yes, Ryan Fox would be a cracker and probably good company to have a round with too, I'd say. It was a lovely television moment when I saw him, like, have his acceptance speech and joking about the kids, apologising for the kids playing in the bunker. I mean, good Kiwi bloke.
And more importantly, he likes good red wine, which I like as well.
Oh, well, good bloke, yeah. No, he's, and of course, you know, he was in the US Open recently. You know, that tough course. And was it that Kentucky grass rough or something they were calling
Certainly
it?
Certainly bluegrass or some sort, yes. But it was really thick. And look, he finished top 20. So that's phenomenal.
Yes.
When you see all the other players that didn't get anywhere near the top 20. So,
well, some didn't make the cut.
No, I know.
That were big names.
Yeah, I know. So at the end of the day, Ryan's in a rich form, really, really strong form on the course, and he should continue to play as much as he can because this is his job. And this is setting himself up and his family up for the future, so it's brilliant.
I think he's got a whole big nation of his for his fan base and really enjoying and hoping he just continues in this very good form.
Yeah, I remember this is just a bit of an interesting story. I remember following him once at the race to Dubai in Dubai, and he had his caddy, and the caddies wear the flag of the country that they that the player represents, and his caddy had an Australian flag on the back of his shirt. That upset me immensely. I got onto social media and put a post to UAE Golf and said, you need to fix this. And then I had a chat to Ryan's caddy, who did not realise that he had five stars on his flag. So he gets out the marker pen and crosses out one of the stars. Still looked like an Australian flag, but at least he tried hard.
That's great. Oh, great golfing yarn to kind of start to draw our program to a close. So I just want to thank you so much for coming in, Tony, and talking to us. Very excited about the mini golf coming up. 18 holes.
Yep.
Oh, that's going to put us through our paces.
So, as I say, please have a look at our website, Golf for Good, and Facebook posts, Golf for Good. And if you want to help, contact us, the details that are on there for contact details. And look, just look forward to the end of the year when we open this magnificent asset for the close.
Brilliant.
For the coast.
Well, and thank you for the work that the clubs are doing for the community through this project and beyond. So thank you so much. Good luck with your own golf there, Tony. I know we've all got bits we can work on.
Heaps.
Heaps. So thank you very much to everybody listening to our show, the first one of Let's Talk Golf.
Great. Thanks, Betty.
Bye-bye.
This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.